Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Marie Graffin for Joe Donahue. 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Time to begin this morning's panel discussion on topics in the news today. And we're joined by WAMC's Alan Chartok, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo, and political consultant Libby Post. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Anybody who wants to join in the conversation, please do email us, roundtable@wamc.org. Again, as we mentioned last week, you know, a couple of paragraphs. Great. 9 pages. Manifesto?
Not so much.
Right. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. So, let's begin with the dark one, the horned one.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at you. We're talking about...
You can't look at us and talk about horns. You just know that, right?
All right. Fair.
Yeah, yeah, we don't look at it.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about a story that's in the news, and it's at CNN.com. That's where I grabbed this, but it's everywhere. Oklahoma's state capitol may become the first to actually have a monument to Satan. If a New York-based group called the Temple of Satan gets its way, a statue of the Evil One, as it's quoted here, would sit next to the recently erected Ten Commandments monument on state capitol grounds. And Lucian Greaves, spokesman for the Temple of Satan, said, well, they said they wanted to be open to different monuments. This seems like a perfect place to put that to the test. Panel, let's start with Rosemary. You were out sick yesterday. What do you think?
Well, I think that the Satanists got them. I mean, if you're going to put up a statue of the Ten Commandments on public ground, then you're saying, yeah, we got it. We'll put up everybody's. And the Satanists have them. I think it's absurd, of course. It's meant to be absurd. And I'd like to see them take down both statues. We have a really good policy in the separation of church and state. Let's keep it. That's
Libby?
My view.
Well, I can't really argue with that. I think the whole thing's insane. And I'd like to see that, one of the things that bothered me about this article was the quote by the guy from the Civil Liberties Union in Oklahoma that says, but if Christians and Jews can have their monument to the Ten Commandments. And let's be clear about this. It's mostly Christian fundamentalists who want to put up these monuments, the Ten Commandments.
Right.
When you look at the Torah, there's 613 of them.
Right, but are Ten Commandments. Right?
Yes, but we don't. I have yet to see anyone from the Jewish community demanding that the Ten Commandments be put up in the public square.
So, well, except that there are times, as you probably know, that,
well, we can
that
have
the Jewish community
up
wants
so
a menorah
often.
if there is a Christmas tree. It's a sticky wicket, as Rosemary suggests, because anybody can make up a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
So
anybody can make
altogether.
A religion.
I think some witches should be up there. We should have coven monuments.
Well, I was thinking
too.
About
that
the. I was thinking about the.
The
I was thinking about the great god atheist, atheist, who somebody might demand there be a statue to
mm-hmm.
also.
Well, how would you have a statue to nothing?
Well, that's
atheist. No, atheist takes a form. He's a very handsome man. He's
the god atheist.
Mm-hmm. The god atheist. Who is different. In other words, Ray. But then the position is maybe what we should do is what we do in the debates, the presidential debates. We say you have to get so many, votes in the last election to be
included in the debate,
permitted to play.
Yeah, right.
We have many Muslims in this country.
Yeah.
We have many members of many faiths, and it is exclusionary to put just the Ten Commandments. I have nothing against them. They're actually wonderful. I teach them. They're a fine ethical standard.
What?
But they don't belong in a statue in a public place like the State House.
Okay, so let it be known that Rosemary and Libby and possibly Alan are in agreement with the Church of Satan.
No, I'm not. I'm repulsed by the whole thing. And the idea is I don't think they'll ever get to first base. I suspect they won't get to first base.
But I think what they want is just what we're giving them right
now. To make
now,
the point.
Right,
to talk
some
but it does bring a great point to bear. And the Church of Satan, which is not the Temple of Satan, this is a different organization. And this is the one that was founded in the 60s, kind of famous.
It's like a Sunni Shiite split. Hard to tell the difference.
Okay,
they're atheists. So
this one agrees with Rosemary exactly. Rather than placing multiple advertisements for various religions, we think it best for the Ten Commandments monument to be removed to private property, and that there be no objects supporting religion of any sort placed on the State House grounds.
Well, you know, the original founding fathers were basically deists. Right. And if you ask people in a survey, what kind of country is this, they'll tell you it's a Christian country.
And it's not true.
No, it's not true. But they will tell you that. As a matter of fact, we know that the pilgrims and the people who came over in the beginning were fleeing, you know, the precepts of one organized religion or another. I don't know what
so
else.
So where do you stand on this?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I stand just fine on it.
Oh, you're not going to give us an answer, are you? You're not going to say.
One of my favorite quotes of a U.S. senator, but I forget who he is. I said, where do you stand on this, Senator? He said, I stand just fine on it.
All right. So I was hoping to pin you down on this.
What do you want me to say?
Do you agree with Satan or do you not agree with Satan?
I never agree with Satan. I'm not a Satanist. You said, do you agree with Satan? I told you I don't agree with him.
Okay, if you want to weigh in, it's the roundtable at WAMC.org. Please send us an email. It's the panel this morning. Rosemary Armeo is here. Libby Post. Alan Chartok is here. He didn't take the bait, but that's okay. We'll get him later on in the program. We'll move on from Satan to Putin.
Same thing.
All right. Without notice, Putin dissolves a news agency. This is from the New York Times. President Vladimir V. Putin, the V may also stand for Vladimir, I don't know, exerted new control.
Vladimir.
Yeah, like Duran Duran. Yeah. Exerted new control over Russia's state news media on Monday, dissolving by decree one of Russia's official news agencies, RIA Novosti, along with its international radio broadcaster, as he continues to drive to strengthen the Kremlin's influence at home and abroad. The decision shutters a decades-old state-run news agency.
How can it be more strengthened than it is? Somebody runs against him, he puts him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You shut down a
method, an outlet for people who to voice dissent.
Okay, so here's a question for you, Rosemary. How many people do you think in political office today who are stung by the rapier, news media, mm-hmm. would, if they had Putin's power, do the same thing?
Oh, yeah, scary. I work in Eastern Europe a lot, and I see what happens when you don't have a press, a really vibrant free press. And they long to have what we have and what we seem to give away, that we want to just, we think that polls, for example, show that many Americans think the First Amendment goes too far, journalists go too far, and they would give up these rights for safety instead. Well, okay, Putin's offering safety and no voice, no public outlet. This is a lesson for us in this.
Although I suppose it beats throwing journalists out the window, which is another one of his ploys.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one more step to their road to fascism there. I mean, it's not a free society. The oligarchs are running the country.
Oligarchs, because the ones he doesn't like, he puts in jail.
Well, he puts in jail. But the people that agree with him are running the country, the people with money. And, you know, this is the same kind of oppressive regime that these folks lived under.
For a thousand years.
Right, but just with, you know, a different color and gloss. So that's true. All. Just changing the name, but it's all the same. It really is. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I brought this up yesterday during the Olympics, to see how far they're going to go to quash any kind of demonstration of being supportive of LGBT people during the Olympics, because it's clear. And the guy that they put in
place this is unbelievable.
Yeah, the guy they put in place for the head of the new agency. You know, is as homophobic as you can get.
No, homosexuals should be forbidden from donating blood,
right.
Sperm, and in the case of an automobile accident, yeah,
burn their
heart should be buried
right.
in the ground or burned.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
he's
pretty
and then
symbolically, medieval.
Putin makes him the head guy
that's
of the
right.
news agency.
Yeah, right, yeah, and so absolutely. That sends a message all by itself.
Let us be clear, this is a state agency that he's dissolving, so it mm-hmm. while it has some reputation for independence, It's not an independent newspaper. It still always was beholden to the state. So imagine being a journalist like many of the brave people that we work with who actually do work for independent media. They are at great risk. Soviet reporters, ex-Soviet reporters have been beaten. They have been killed. The death rate of journalists.
Yeah, there were suicides, quote, suicides, yeah, where they jumped out of windows. And right. What, really? They jumped out of a window?
So it takes immense bravery, and it does, to me, show the importance of the freedom of expression that people risk their lives for it.
Yeah. It's Stalin all over again.
Will be.
Interesting you say Stalin, because this new head of this agency compared at one point, I think last year, Putin in glowing terms
to
being powerful like Stalin. So.
Yeah.
The Evil Empire Returns, and that's a great spot to take a break. It's the Roundtable on
must
WAMC.
We
must.
Support for WAMC goes on Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Hospital, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, providing ophthalmology, surgery, and internal medicine services for dogs and cats. Now offering laser eye surgery, VESHDeerfield.com. Beacon Institute for Rivers and Estuaries of Clarkson University, presenting River U, a 6-credit environmental undergraduate summer program, classes in Beacon and aboard the Clearwater, online application at riveru.org. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, you can join the conversation by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. You can hit our Facebook page or our web page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And we're moving through the topics today. I like this. It's brief, but pithy.
Definitive.
Yeah.
Just vote on
P-I-T-H-Y?
It depends on what kind of mood you're in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, here's one, and this is all over the place as well. This hit the news yesterday on the New York Times. This, I'm quoting here from USA Today, obviously. New York Times, USA Today,
they're very much
about the same thing.
Yeah.
Tech giants band together in anti-snooping coalition. Torched by disclosures, the National Security Agency tapped into its data and spied on people and businesses. Some of the tech's biggest names have banded together to form what is essentially an anti-NSA coalition. You got Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo leading this reform government surveillance coalition. They announced that to rein in the vast tentacles of the NSA and perhaps save the world from all these privacy invasions.
Now, you say that like you don't believe it.
Well,
when you say,
good luck.
Say
you were cat's out of the bag, brother.
So it's out of the bag. You can't ever get the cat or the genie back in the bag.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The real question to me is motive. Now, remember, these are people who don't like each other. They compete with each other. They try to kill each other and the rest of it. But they're doing it. Why are they doing it?
Public demand.
Yeah.
They had to. The public is outraged about this, and they had to consider their profit.
Yes, and they do it too.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yes.
They spy on us.
Yes.
They want to know what we're going to.
Right.
Sure. They're going to say, Alan, did you want a long neck banjo?
That's right.
A 5-string long neck banjo because I went to a site looking for a 5-string long neck banjo? I mean, it's
every time I go shopping at Staples and buy file folders, I get for at least 2 weeks. People who bought file folders at Staples also bought this.
Okay, now, is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay?
Well,
if you buy online?
It's duplicitous. No. It's duplicitous. That's what this is.
But is
it's
it?
Just duplicitous.
No, we
they
sort
can
of
use,
like that.
They
we
can
sort
use
of like
the
that.
Data for commercial means,
right?
Okay, and to make money, but the government shouldn't be able to use the data for its purpose. I'm not saying what the government is doing is right, but I just think it's really duplicitous because all the big companies will keep this data and use it to make more money off of us, and they have no problem with that.
But if Libby goes
to
Staples.
And one other thing, and it's used, that data is used to win political campaigns.
All right, now you got to give me an example.
Okay. Oh, well, the whole Obama campaign there,
they're
online. They use the info of where people are going online, and they use this information that can be bought from the online companies, from Microsoft, from Google, and are able to target down to a person's, you know, what article that they read. If they read something on Choice, then you're going to see an ad for Obama or a candidate saying that they're pro-choice.
I think there's a huge difference between having your likes, your commercial interests, and even your political interest used than spying with NASA. I think those are completely different things.
Well, let me ask you, everybody, a question.
All right. And
my tongue goes from my cheek. Well, I want to ask you a question because I know what the argument is going to be. You have no idea how many would-be terrorists we have found as a result of doing this important work
and finding out
how people talk to each other. And now we take a vote of the American people and say, hold up your hands or cast your ballot if you'd rather be safe than dead.
Right, yeah, no one's going to say they'd rather be safe.
Yeah.
They all do that, and that's why it used to be nice to have a constitution that was enforced because the rules were not made by people who were thinking of immediate danger. There's a balance between these.
Joseph K. One fine morning, he was arrested having done nothing wrong. Joseph K. That was Kafka. You know.
No, we've had our Kafka moment.
Now,
thank
now
you.
Now we've gone into fiction. This is the real stuff.
At least it's not poetry. He's not there yet. Toward the end of the week, he'll be reciting.
Yeah, but the fiction we read today becomes the reality of our lives tomorrow.
Ugh. Well, okay, fine then. I'm getting off Facebook and all the other social media I use, and people ought to be thinking about that. It's
Facebook
getting really
is fair
scary.
Game, and it's been fair game for possible, you know, employers, and fair game for police agencies, and fair game for the NSA and everybody else. It's out there. However, Libby, I want to get back to your point about you're taking umbrage with, say, Staples.
Umbrage.
I'm not taking umbrage with it. I'm just saying it's the reality of the situation.
But that's
and they make money off of it.
Isn't that marketing? In other words, isn't that Staples has your information?
Right.
As long as Staples isn't sharing that information, that's a good thing.
But Staples does share.
We got a sale on file folders. You bought them last month. Jeez, here's your chance.
I'm not saying that there's anything inherently wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, that's what we're using that same information for commercial purposes, and they're making a ton of money, billions and billions of dollars off of this.
I don't care about making money. I think that's great for them. I have no problem with it. In fact, it's a convenience, except for this stuff about Christian singles. I don't need to see any more ads about that. I don't know why I attract those.
Oh,
Christian Mingle?
Christian Mingle. Yeah,
Mingle.
I get that every... I don't know
and
what
I've
site
I've visited. Waiting for me, I have to tell you.
But the commercial, you know, that's a service to me in a way. I have expressed...
The Christian Mingle?
No, not that one. But most of the other, the file folders we'll use example.
Yeah.
That provides a service to me. Having my political views and then a group that purports to want the same things tries to contact me, that is a service. There is no service from NSA. That is spying.
No, no, no.
That's
service
personal.
Is saving
I want
your
them
life.
To go to a court.
The service is saving your life.
If my mail needs to be spied upon, if there's a need for it, then go to a court and get them to agree to you. That's
so you are
all
in agreement then with this coalition that says,
do
you
something.
Know, we strongly believe the current laws and practices need to be reformed.
My main problem with this is why are they coming out now? They should have done this. They knew this was going on or could have figured out that it was
hell
going
for it.
On. Yeah,
because
they're getting hell
saying,
for it.
You know,
I wish they had done it before when it would have done some good.
And in China?
We have to thank Edward Snowden
yes,
for knowing
we do.
About this, and
right.
I do again.
And we'll have to thank him about,
our video
life.
Games.
Second Life.
Elves and trolls and Dungeons and Dragons being spied on by the NSA, which is another revelation, which we didn't have time to get to today, but I thought that was fascinating.
Well, you could do it in a minute, couldn't you?
We could do it after the news.
All right, we'll talk about then the NSA's plumbing of fantasy games online for secret data about people who will kill you. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 936. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue this week. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post. And we were discussing, the tech giants banding together to say, hey, NSA, cool it. And then there's this counter story from the New York Times and elsewhere. This is from yesterday. Spies dragnet reaches a playing field of elves and trolls, not limiting their activities to the earthly realm. American and British spies have infiltrated the fantasy worlds of World of Warcraft and Second Life, conducting surveillance and scooping up data in the online games played by millions of people across the globe, according to newly disclosed classified documents.
Okay, before we get into this, I'd like to make a point. I think that, is that all right with you guys?
If
I
Absolutely. Rosemary?
You run the place, so
no,
you can
I don't,
do
no,
it.
I know, I know. You all right, Ray?
Yeah, Great okay. Expectations. It's okay. Charles Dickens. Okay. It's holiday time.
Okay, but I, you know, like, but when the wall came down in Germany, remember that? Remember when communism was over?
Yeah, right.
Remember that? Did our wonderful security agencies, which need all this information, nuanced information, everything else, did they know that communism was over or that the wall was going to come down? They did not. And everybody knows they did not. So here these guys are playing dragons and whatever in order to get the smallest amounts of information or psychological profiles, and the big things they can't get.
They're escaping them. Mm-hmm. That's always been the way, I think, with intelligence. There's been studies of this, that the big movements, they miss out on, but the day-to-day stuff is what they're digging up information on. This is the infiltration into fantasy games is another of the Snowden revelations.
Yeah. Yep.
I want to point that out. We continue to as those documents are mined, we continue to find out outrageous stuff that's going on.
Let me just get this straight with you, Rosemary. You are for Snowden's revelations. The
I
idea
think
that
Snowden
he did
a service to the American people.
I happen to be in agreement with you.
Oh, good. I know Libby disagrees. So, but not to veer off into that. Should spies be playing fantasy games?
Yeah, they've created make believe characters, and they use this to cultivate contacts.
They create their own avatars, and I don't know what to make of this service of this story. The idea for their getting involved was that they were afraid that the bad guys were using these games as a way to communicate. You play a little gaming, and then you would talk with each other.
And it goes back 5 years. The NSA warned about this 5 years ago. They said, you know, these games are target-rich communications networks, and they're a way to hide in plain sight. So the NSA said, well, we'll just go in and we'll play some, World of Warcraft.
And they teach people how to kill.
I think that's an ancillary threat.
Well, only if you can fly and, you know, you can vaporize weapons in the air and stuff. That's not really killing. But so I don't know if it was a good idea to go on. I wonder about the expenditure of time and resources on something like this. There is no evidence that any bad guys were ever caught, that any communications was ever tapped into.
Just remember the wall coming down, end of communism. And I remember very well because I was sitting up on a set at a certain news channel, and they led with a story about a cat whose paws had been damaged by some fiend, and I mean it. But that was the number one story.
Wow!
Communism was the fall of communism was reduced.
Holy darn!
Wow!
This surveillance also goes into Microsoft Xbox Live, which is extremely popular. My kids, I play it. And
you're a spy.
No, I only play online poker.
Do you?
Yeah, but it's great. But the point of the matter is,
does the NSA know about this?
Well, they probably know everything.
They're probably playing the other hand.
And I think if the NSA just does it on their lunch hour, you know, grab the laptop.
These
play
games
a little
are kind
Warcraft.
Of addicting. I mean, I can see spies spending, you know, like, oh, I'm working,
you know,
and they're playing
before,
these games all day.
It's all fantasy, and this really goes right into their fantasy land of what it is that they do.
Okay,
all day
so let's look at it a different way. Should we spend millions on this kind of garbage, or should we have pre-K for kids?
Well, I was going to make that point. That's the problem.
Let's
here.
Have a bake sale to buy some bombers too. This is not the same thing, man.
You, with five children, I don't want to hear this from you.
Okay, go ahead.
Every child needs pre-K.
Every child
and there are choices to be made. I keep saying that.
But
and when the defense budget, and we don't even know what it is, by the way, because so much of it
we
is
don't
secret.
Know the money of this. Yes.
Is spent on, on putting spies onto, you know, these things when they can't even tell that the wall is coming down and communism is over, something is very wrong.
There's just this sense from my perspective here is, you know, they think that everybody who, the radical Islamists who hate the Western world are going to go and use the pinnacle of Western society.
I suspect some will.
You know, so, and I suspect that somebody will get a cell phone and make a phone call and do the same and have the same conversation.
We've got that covered already.
Yeah, maybe not. You know, the fact of the matter is maybe we're spending all this money on nothing.
But wait.
That gives us absolutely no return, really, and we're letting kids starve, and we're letting families...
Cutting SNAP benefits by $40 billion.
Right. I mean, we're just letting families, you know, live in squalor. And that goes to the other stories we're going to talk about.
Right.
I mean,
We'll talk about the squalor in a minute.
I just think we need to be realistic. I'm not happy with what Edward Snowden did. There's no two ways about it. But I also think that the paranoia that's within the NSA, that's within our government around these things, just fuels the stupidity of, let's look at this, where there's no real anything coming out of it. There's no real results.
Allow me to take the contrarian position.
Well,
here.
Right ahead.
Just for the sake of the argument, it doesn't cost very much to have somebody who's already on payroll at NSA get on and possibly...
Do you know what an Xbox costs?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
And wait a second, there is an assumption on your part that these are people who are not being taken on for that purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, but hang on.
Let's let him make his point, and then we'll attack him. Please allow me to fully say what I got to say, and for all the people out there who think I'm mean to you,
I want to apologize.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was
good.
Way,
and sure. Maybe we can do that once a day during the program
okay,
this week.
Okay, I just did. There's no reason to be not be
all right. Here's the thing.
My apology.
What is actually technically wrong? And again, from a hypothetical contrarian position, not my own necessarily.
I love the way he does that.
What is wrong with the NSA getting online? And if nothing happens, nothing happens. They play games, which is not against anybody's rules. They're playing games. Nobody else knows that they're collecting data.
It's a waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah, you'd be fired for playing games.
They should
games.
Get the Golden Fleece Award, which Proxmire used to give out.
Right. I mean, if I...
I think it might have some value.
If you went on and played Xbox games all day instead of doing your job... I mean, come on. It's a waste of taxpayer money.
Like I say, I have a hard time making head or tail of this story. I think it sounds really silly. Maybe there was something to it, but I think playing games just feeds the idea that that's the way the world really works, and it is just fantasy.
It's just more right. boys and their toys. It's just virtual toys.
I'm afraid it does come off that way.
Well, yeah. Girls work for the NSA, too, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's
keep it fair and balanced here. It's the Roundtable on WMC. Very exciting program, and we'll take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Fleet Feet Sports Colony and now Malta, New York. Locally owned specialty running shops featuring footwear, apparel, and training programs for all distances, all abilities. FleetFeetAlbany.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. HealthyLivingMarket.com. And Edward Garbasek, Certified Financial Planner, Havokin Wealth Strategies, Wilbraham, Massachusetts. Providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. HavokinWealthStrategies.com.
The Roundtable on WAMC, 9:46 is the time. Oh, what fun we're having today. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post. Why do you look at me that way?
Because there's no reason to take a tone.
We're having a great time, aren't we?
You took a tone? No, it was a sort of sarcastic, we're having a great time. Come on, Ray, we know the deal.
Right.
We are having a great time.
Mm. Well, I am.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
So anyway, CNN Money has this, the myth of the American dream. The American dream is supposed to mean that through hard work, perseverance, you'll be able to move up and better your situation. However, some new data says, well, maybe not.
And not so much.
No, not so much. The research measures intergenerational earnings elasticity, if you're scoring at home. It's
mobility.
Exactly. Economic mobility. And Well, Rosemary, why don't you tell us about what the results were?
Well, it's bad news. I mean, up to my generation, baby boomer generation, you could expect to end up better than your parents. My grandparents, for example, were immigrants, dirt poor, had been peasants. And their children went to school and did better. And now the third generation, we've gone to college. We're all professionals. So we've moved up. That may stop with my children, who face a much more difficult economic situation. And if they end up as well off as I am, they'll be lucky. And for about half of Americans, that is the situation.
But isn't this somewhat analogous to a comment you made about America in Decline in a show last week where, you know, we hit a peak at World War II where our power was enormous. There was nobody left after World War II. So now you, a great example, you know, immigrants,
right,
dirt poor, you move up, you move up, you move up. How high can one go reasonably? And
Exactly. You know. So, and this is the first time that this has ever really happened in the United States, that up until now it was always the land of promise and opportunity. It's why everyone wants to come here, because your children, you may not, if you immigrant here, you may not and have any other life but one of struggle and difficulty, but your children are going to do great. And now the promise is not so much there. It's difficult, much more so than it was when I was a kid, to go to college, to be able to afford it, to be able to get out without a huge crushing debt, and then to buy your own home. We all know how difficult that is these
and
days.
And there was a piece, not to deviate too much, sure, and get criticized, but but there was a piece yesterday all over the place about you're not supposed to spend more than a third of your income on rent
and housing.
And now it's everybody's really beginning to suffer because they're going 35% and 40%.
It used to be a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was
it's a tough time. Just making the point, just so we establish consistency here, that things are not looking that rosy, and that we have the largest separation between the haves and the have-nots that we've ever had in this country.
Right. Also not a good sign, also not a measure of mobility or of stability in most other places. Alan, you made a point on the break about how our kids, or the generation after us baby boomers, will have a break because of this huge transfer of wealth that will go from us to them. So our houses, for example, they will have houses because they'll have ours.
Well, but that's not everybody.
No, it is not.
It's interesting, however, that the Mexican immigration is now an out-migration. You know, more people going back than coming in.
Prospects are better back there.
Well, for whatever the equation, there probably are more reasons than just prospects. It's home country, home language, you know, comfort, family, and all the rest. But in the old days, that didn't stop people from trying to get here. You okay, Ray? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, okay, good.
That was a sound effect brought in by Hopper, our engineer. That wasn't me.
No, I just
want to
make
a bug is sweeping through the round table. I'm blaming all of you guys for
bug?
My illness. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay.
Beware, so, Libby.
So where were we again? Because
about Mexico. Mexicans are seeing now that the dream is not so much in America anymore.
Right. Right. Well, you're right about the transference of wealth. It's why I have to stay alive.
But, you know, you're also right that that's us and not everybody. Our children will benefit from what we have. What if you're starting out in this generation in the lower class? What there is no house to transfer to your kids. You're struggling to make it too. So this study is saying you are going to be stuck probably in the same place that your parents were.
See, I've always somewhat cynically thought of it a different way. You know, first the immigrants come and they live on, as my mom did, in Rivington Street, and then, you know, the next generation, and she becomes, her parents did that, and they carried seltzer bottles and sold insurance on, you know, and then the next generation become teachers, and the next generation become professors.
Right.
And the next generation fix cars in Silver Springs, Maryland.
That's it. This is the title on this is right, The Myth of the American Dream.
Yeah. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with fixing a car. I wish I could do it.
No, then you can make more money.
That's a good point. But what do you guys do to fix this?
Oh, that's always a great question.
You stop funding stupid government snooping, using Xboxes.
And put everybody into a...
So the government then takes over everybody's social mobility?
No, this is about using our tax dollars wisely to lift people up and to give people the resources they need to make sure everybody has a chance to go to college. Roosevelt, there's this, all these great pictograms going around Facebook, and I always get the more progressive feeds. Roosevelt talked about how this country is not about making the rich people richer, but making sure that the poor people have the resources they need and that they can become part of the middle class.
And you know
and
what
we
that
have
does?
To do? We yeah. have to get back to the basic tenets of why people come here. My grandparents came here.
Sure. They lived in Brooklyn, Queens.
Basically Park. My father's parents were, my father's father was a tailor, and my mother's father was lucky. He worked in the theaters during the Depression. So they always had some resources, but neither of my parents went to college. I mean, and we're the first ones to go. My brother and I were the first ones to go to college.
And I know Ray was going to want his children to be able to go to college and probably a public college.
Right. And it was really important.
That's it. I mean, what you're seeing now, though, is a growing split between the public college and the elite college, which are out of our hands.
That's true.
Well, what we're really talking about here is redistribution of wealth, which is exactly what Republicans are afraid of, and they tend to be
and
in
for
the wealthier
what reason?
Classes.
Because it's
because
not like
they're going to lose stuff.
They're not going to lose that much.
Are you kidding?
They're not going to lose that much.
I think when you have it, you don't want to lose any of it.
Well, that's true.
I mean, even when you don't. I don't want to lose any of my income either, even though I have happily more than I need. I don't want to give my money away, and neither do they. So I understand the impulse. But what happens when they get into power and there's not balance is exactly what we're seeing now.
I want to go back to Libby's point because I think it was such a good one.
Okay.
You see, I'm deeply suspicious of, I have read more about FDR than anything else, and I just do it and do it and do it. Mm-hmm. But it's clear to me that FDR was a capitalist. He was of his group, and he was a smart one. And he said, if you take everything away, you got the czar. And we know what happened to the czar.
That's right.
And I think to some degree the New York Times does the same thing. The last thing that everybody had that had any representation of wealth in this country was their house. And now they're taking their houses away. They figured out a way to do that. That's crazy. That really is counterproductive if you want to keep what you've got.
Right. If the 1% wants to keep what they need to have a thriving middle class. They need to have people moving up so that the economy can continue to grow. And they don't care. That's the other part of this. And it's like greed is the order of the day. The 1%,
okay.
The people with a lot of money, they just don't care about.
By the way,
the folks
not all of them.
I'm sorry, but the vast majority of them.
Not Warren Buffett.
I know, he does.
Not Bill
care.
Gates.
He gets it.
Right.
Warren Buffett gets it.
Yes, some of these people do get it, but they're not the ones who are. Making some of the political decisions that are affecting
But the
our
things
lives.
That I always ask myself is, do they ever look in a mirror? Number one.
Do they ever look back?
Do they ever look in a mirror? Two, do they ever look at their grandchildren and say, we have to have a healthcare system in this country that takes care of everybody? I mean, to me, this is, and what I'm always astounded by, and I'm not looking at anybody in this room, believe me, I'm not. But what really astounds me is how we, that there are people who really need the service, who buy the line. I don't get that. I don't ever get that.
The
Tea Party people, or the people, or some of them,
right.
or
people
some
on Medicare out on the streets with signs protesting Obamacare because they don't like government programs and
right.
health.
But don't touch my Medicare.
Yeah.
Did you want to say anything? Ray?
Do such people exist?
Oh yeah.
Do you want people on Medicare go out and protest?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Big story.
Okay.
Oh yeah. They have big signs. Keep the government's hands off my Medicare. I mean, it's really
well. That's weird.
Well, no, I think that may be different. That may be that we know that the government is going after our Medicare.
No, this was all the Tea Party people. Okay. This was all back when they were doing the Obamacare stuff.
But I mean something entirely different.
Sure. I mean, Medicare
is
great.
Keep them off my Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, we have 2 minutes here. Colorado town to vote on drone ordinance. It should be stated that Rosemary suggested this several months ago on this here program. This is from CNN. Philip Steele, a resident of Deer Trail, Colorado, ready to fight for Old West values he feels are being threatened by drones. Asked what exactly he's proposing to do when he sees an unmanned aircraft, Steele points his weapon to the sky. I'm proposing to shoot it down, he said.
Cool.
Deer Trail, population 598, will vote today on a measure that would allow its residents to hunt for federal drones and shoot them down. Rosemary Armeo, go.
I think this man would be a hero in Pakistan where American drones are shooting down people. And I think this is like the Satan statues. You know, he's taking an extreme position to point out something that's absurd. And that's the drones running out of control in our airspace. I think it's funny. I'd sort of like one of these permits.
Yeah, the ordinance specifies
I think it'd be fun to shoot him down.
The kind of weapons and ammo residents could use and puts a bounty on recovered parts. $25 for the fuselage or wing, $100 for a whole drone that has U.S. government markings, Libby Post.
Does he also want to shoot down the drones delivering his stuff from Amazon?
Ah,
that's what I want to know.
And I want to say something. We're just kidding, folks. Just kidding.
No, this is
this
not
is all
a,
sarcastic.
This is a story. This is a story.
No. I know that one Schmigeggy went out there and said he wants to allow his town to in Colorado to shoot
right.
down drones. But I don't want anybody to think that we'll ever encourage anybody to get out there and do that, because somebody always takes everything you say literally.
Well, I guess Rosemary said it. All right, so
that it would be fun to shoot him down,
yeah,
like skeet
that's,
shooting.
It's a joke.
Yeah, that's Rosemary's.
Yeah,
I'm also in favor of gun regulation. You remember that, right?
Right.
Okay. I mean, I see it now. He's going out there on his horse with his rifle, and he's shooting down a drone because it's, you know, the mountains of Colorado.
Right.
I mean, it's like, hello.
But there is a deeper point here. Drones do threaten our privacy, as we have seen several threats to privacy in this program alone.
It's a trespassing issue in this
case.
Well,
by the way, we heard from Lisa, who said the idea that it's a Christian nation that somehow people that observe this religion feel victimized. War and Christmas, loss of prayer in schools, intelligence design, et cetera, they must constantly try to erase separation of church and state is frightening, repressive, and actually un-American. Even if it was a country founded on Christian principles, we are now a country of diversity entitled to evolving beliefs and on.
Well, that's a great way to end the program. God bless us, everyone. You can email us at roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Alan Shartok.
Thank you all
for listening today, and by golly, there's more to come.